All right, let me gather us together now around the reading of God's Word. And today it's going to be in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And may God add His blessing to the reading of that word. Now, as you've heard from our deacon, Gideon representative today about their work, I thought that I would structure the sermon today around a paragraph that's from their website. And as I was reading it, I will read to you. And it says, "We believe distributing copies of God's Word plants powerful seeds God can use according to His own timing, allows many to read the truth for themselves, provides a lasting witness, and makes it easier for those we reach to boldly spread the good news." So I'm going to be using, and they included some verses of reference there, and so I'm going to be using those verses of reference, a few of them, to give to you what God has laid upon my heart. Your thought for today is this: abide in God's Word and share it with others. Very simple. Abide in God's Word and share it with others. So spreading God's Word is the work of a servant. One of the references that they put in there came from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Let me read that span of Scripture to you from 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. It says, Paul writing to Corinth, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Now, Apollos was a very gifted preacher. He had been instructed in the Word, but he was very limited in his knowledge, the full knowledge of the gospel. And so as he was going around, he was debating the Jews and others, and he was winning these arguments and debates, and he was being used mightily, but as I said, he was sort of limited in his fullness of the knowledge of the gospel. And because he was so gifted, he was making such an impact, and there were two people, a husband and wife, called Aquila and Priscilla. You've heard those names before. They had an opportunity to take Apollos into their company, and they instructed him in more in depth of the gospel, so that he fully understood the impact and the designation of Jesus being that Messiah. And it shows you how just common folks can have an impact on the Word of God. As I said before, not all of us are gifted, and sometimes I wonder if even I am, to stand behind this pulpit. Not all of us are gifted to stand in front of groups as Sunday school leaders or teachers and various things like that. But Aquila and Priscilla, they were gifted by God, and they were given this purpose, and they came in and they took hold of it and they seized that opportunity, but they had an understanding of it. Somebody had to plant the seed in Apollos' life so that God then could begin to release the gifting that He had given to Apollos so that he could make an impact upon that area. And so when you begin to start planting seeds, what Paul was wanting the church in Corinth to know is that he was addressing a debate that was going on, because some were saying, "I want to follow Apollos." Some were saying, "I want to follow Paul." And Paul was saying, "We are not masters to be followed. We are co-laborers. We are fellow servants of God. And we came in with a servant's attitude to use the spiritual gifts that you were given to that were given to us." They were these gifts of planting the seeds. And so as Paul says, "I planted the seeds, I started the work of the church here," and then Apollos came in and he watered those seeds. He began that process of cultivation so that the seeds being planted would take root and begin to grow. we use the gifts that God has given to us to plant seeds. We use those opportunities, just as the work of the Gideons come in and they share God's word, they hand out Bibles and do the other work of their ministries. We too have an impact on the lives of others by how we can share God's word with them. And in the opportunities that we have to grant to them that very special privilege that it is to know Christ more deeply. And as we share that information with others, we have those opportunities, but we have to be mindful of the opportunities that God gives to us. So I would encourage you to make it a part of your prayer life that God would make you aware of those opportunities that we have to share God's word and give you that strength to step into those opportunities. Again, it's not, we'll talk about that in a little bit later about how that can be intimidating. But see, planting the seeds with the faith of a farmer. We are in the middle of a farming community and we see what's going on. We see all of the dust in the field now. The tractors have been out cultivating and or preparing the soil, I should say, and planting the seeds. And you wonder, we all know that seeds need moisture. And so those farmers go out with faith every year and they plant these seeds and they fertilize and they tend to them. But they all understand, at least all of them that I know, they all understand that without the work of God coming in and supplying the right weather and protecting those crops from harsh weather, then they will not reap a harvest, or at least their harvest will not be what it could have been had they had more favorable weather and growing conditions. So farmers understand that they can go out and plant these seeds, and they plant them in hope that their crop and a harvest will come, but it's with an understanding that it is only God that will bring that increase. And it's important for us to understand that only that we are only servants sharing our faith. We are not don't build ourselves up into something that God doesn't want us to see, because that just puts more pressure on us. Just see yourself as a friend of someone who wants to share God, wants to share His love, wants to share His truth, giving God the opportunity to work in that individual's life. But do it in faith, knowing that God will give that increase. The next thing I want to share with you is that living in the Word leads to leaning on the Word. That was that scripture that I just shared with you as the main scripture here, about Jesus calling on the Jews to abide in that Word. Now, abide is not a word that we use very regularly anymore. The Greek word there, menos, means to stand, to stay, to dwell, to live. A man named Edgar wrote this. He said, "Picture in your mind a shipwrecked sailor, buffeted by constant storms, head down, huddled on a small spit of rock, uncertain of rescue, physically endangered, but with an internal peace. He is abiding." He said, abide reflects this meaning. So that living in God's Word, staying in God's Word, enduring the stuff of life that comes that wants to rip us out of that Word, but staying in that Word and letting it become our home. Jesus' instruction there was to stay in that Word, consume that Word, let that Word then become our guide, let it become our comfort, let it become the controlling, the leading, the guiding factor within our life, our truth detector. We had a study that I keep sharing parts of it with you from Jerry Bridges on our Wednesday nights, and it was in Transforming Grace, and he reminded all of us that it is good to have a library of God's Word built up within the minds of all of us so that the Holy Spirit has an excellent resource to use in the appropriate time, so that He can bring it to our minds and bring it to our hearts to give us that comfort, to give us that wisdom, to give us that grace that God is wants to have to share with His people. But when we have that adequate library of God's Word within us, we have an abundance there that God can draw from and pull from to teach us and to give us the benefits of being a child of God. And that comes through His Word, that work of grace, through the work of through the Word of God being applied to our lives. If you live in something, you live in a home. And all of us know that when we live in our homes, you know your home. You know every nook and cranny in that home. And so think of that way of relating to God's Word. And when you live in it, when you dwell in it, it becomes your home place. That home is a place of comfort. I know that there are times in our life when all of this is null and void. I understand that. But we generally think of our homes as our place of comfort, our place of rest, refreshment, security. And you even carry part of it with you whenever you go someplace, because there's always that thing about home that you just want to return to. You want to come there. You want to sleep in your own bed. There's that place of at the end of a long day when you're once again in the confines of home, because home is that way. That's kind of that is the relationship that you have built with your home. So make God's Word your home. That is that abiding in God's Word. When you make God's Word your home, you know it, and God uses it to greatly bless you and minister to you in many parts of your life. God's Word is also a precious treasure to be shared with others. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Let me go back to that illustration of Apollos. Now, it says Timothy was a pastor of a church, and some people think that Timothy was a very anxious pastor of the church. You had places in Scripture where Paul is recommending that Timothy take a little bit of wine for his stomach, which might lead one to believe that he had anxiety, upset stomach, those kinds of things. He also reminds Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Again, encouraging Timothy that he may have been intimidated about what he felt God calling him to do. But here Paul is encouraging Timothy to know, to understand, to grasp hold of what you know and share it with those who can share it with others. And in that way, God's Word is spread. Now, this was an instruction to a pastor to instruct those who will instruct others. But it's also an encouragement to all of us that as we are given that opportunity to share God's Word with others in whatever capacity and whatever opportunity God gives to us, then we are to share that Word with others so that they can be strengthened and go out and share God's Word themselves. Think back to that illustration that I just talked to you about with Priscilla and Aquila talking to Apollos. They took it upon themselves to further instruct Apollos and to share with him more in depth about Jesus Christ as being Savior and Lord. And because of what they did, God used that act of love very mightily, and Apollos went out with better presentations. He went out with a fuller presentation of what God wanted him to share. God had already gifted Apollos with the means that he needed to communicate. He was very learned. He was a very wise man. And so he could argue on a high level. He could confront on a high level. He could defend God's truth on a high level. He just needed a fuller definition. He needed to be more familiar with that. And so you can help in those kinds of situations, because you never know where God is going to take the seed that you plant. That seed that you plant in an individual, when you take the time to share with the Rowdies and the Hallies and the others that we have in our congregation, that you take the time to share with those young people maybe even the most simple truth, And you never know where God is going to take that truth when these young people grow up and they become the tithes and they become the sums of you. Someone shared God's truth with you at some point in your life. Let you be the one to share God's truth with others so that God can use that seed and in His time develop that seed. And that's what I want to talk to you about here as we begin drawing to a close here. Why is that so hard for us to do? Why is sharing God's word such a daunting task? We ask ourselves the question, well, how will people see me? Will it be like somebody who's in sales and they see me coming down the sidewalk and they turn around and they go away from me? Or they walk past me like this? Or they ignore me at the water cooler? You know, we don't want to be ignored. We don't want to be labeled that guy or that woman. And so what if I say something wrong? What if I'm too concerned about being too preachy? You know, what if I just don't know what to say? All of these kind of thoughts can come into our hearts to intimidate us, to keep us from being used by God to share His Word. And so first is understanding that God's Word is not about you. Let me repeat that. God's Word is not about you. Don't put your pressure. Don't put pressure on yourself to think that if I'm not skilled enough, if I'm not knowledgeable enough, if I'm not fill in the blank enough, that this person is going to be condemned to hell forever. That is not the way to approach evangelism. That is not the way to approach evangelism. God has given us an opportunity for sharing His Word, but first we must understand it is not about us. We plant. We are that farmer that puts seeds in the ground. And as we are given opportunities in relationship with that individual, we may just plant the seed. We may never see that individual again. Maybe somebody you're sitting beside on an airplane, waiting in the doctor's office. It could be somebody that you only see once in your life. But if you have that opportunity and God gives you that opportunity, then step into it and plant that word. And let God have then His way with how that seed develops. And so as we share that seed there, we approach it like the farmer. We plant, and God is going to bring the results. Our brother Donald shared with that passage from Isaiah that God's Word is not going to return empty. It's going to accomplish its purpose. Now, sometimes that purpose means that it further hardens that individual. Sometimes that purpose is that individual's heart is softened. That's God's business. That's not ours. We are to plant that seed, and God is going to use that either to make that person more resistant or He's going to bring that person into His family. So that's His business. What the end result is does not depend upon you. Don't go around thinking I'll fail because that person keeps resisting God's Word. That Word is accomplishing its purpose, the purpose that God has ordained for that word to accomplish. So we plant seeds, we scatter the word. Also understand here that we see God's word as a source of security and joy. You know, do you have that same fear about talking about a good movie, a good restaurant, a good book? No, we don't. Why is that? Because that book, that restaurant, that movie has made such an impact on us that we feel like we want to share it. It's given us a source of joy. And I think that we are intimidated by sharing God's Word because we're just not familiar with it. When we're sitting there in that movie theater and we hear the sounds and we see the storyline and we get the impact of that movie and it makes a big impression on us. So we're reading that book and you know how all of those word pictures begin to form and it makes an impression on us. So we go to a restaurant and everything just works perfectly and we're just impacted by that restaurant and we have it inside of us and we want to share that with others because we want to bring them joy too. Well, does God's Word give you joy? See it as something that gives you joy. And if it gives you joy, wouldn't you like to share that joy with others? The same as you would share a recipe or a book experience. we also should see the seriousness of sharing God's word, because it is that source of security. If you're in a place and you see danger ahead and you see people coming down the road, I think every one of us would say, hey, there's something going on up there, I'd stop, or I'd turn around, or I've seen what's up ahead and we don't want to go there. Every one of us in here would do it. There wouldn't be a single one of you that would see danger ahead, turn around and start walking back, and then have people pass you without saying something. There's a dangerous animal up there. There's a, you know, whatever is up here that's going to cause you harm. And so if we see God's word as that source of security, if we see God's word as given to us that ability then to be rescued from danger, then would we not share it more often? Would we not feel better about sharing it? You don't have to answer this, but how many of you have been one of those flashers, you know, when you pass a patrol car? You're like, hey, you know, careful, slow down. Or how many of you might have been thankful that somebody went, did it? And you're like, Well, God's word is a lot more serious than that. And if you'd feel good about doing that, and if you feel good when you have been warned and saved you from a $150 speeding ticket or whatever they are nowadays, then see God's word in that same light as something to be shared, something that is precious. We are co-laborers in the field of God. We plant God's word in faith that He will use it for His good, in His timing, for His kingdom. Whether it hardens or whether it softens is up to Him. Go and plant in faith, just like those farmers. You go and plant in faith that the end result was not dependent upon you, but the end result is dependent upon the sovereign and living and holy and righteous and very fair God, who wants us as His people to share His word. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for the witness that was given to us this day. And we thank You for Your word that stands in witness to what You desire for Your people. Father, we ask now that You will continue to speak into our hearts Your truth, that we will be students of that truth, that we will crave that truth, that Your word will be hidden in our heart, that we may not sin against You. Father, that is our desire this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.